Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mavote. In 1989, a film, an award-winning film, was released called The Native Who Caused All the Trouble. It was based on a true story of a guy called Tshidiso Mseme, who in 1937 challenged the state who wanted to take his land in the Cape Flats. He said the land belonged to God and not the government. And he became the native that caused all the trouble. Tshidiso has come back reincarnated as a woman in our lives. Still Xhosa? God causing trouble in the Gauteng legislature. And today, Ayanda Ali is my guest as the newly formed Tshidiso. Hello.
I like it a lot. Thank you so much. Yeah,
there must be causing all the trouble.
You must never sit still. They're on the edge of their seat entirely until delivery of services is achieved.
It's been about 13 months since we last spoke. So it was just before the elections when I spoke to you. No, you were fired, but I thought, it's an act. You know, these people want to get into the legislature. They're going to act a bit tough. Damn it, was I wrong? You've become tougher since that interview.
I think having gone inside the belly of the beast, as it were, and seeing the amount of work that needs to be done and the certain extent of lethargy among some officials, no, we've been here before, etc., stirred something inside, you know, that restlessness that made one say, actually, no, cannot be business as usual. Vugan, emakanden, let's work.
By the way, hello.
You know, how are
I forgot to say hello. Are you well?
It's good because you and I have been talking.
Right?
Right. The
conversation, and I've been watching you. And I thought, you know, so I mean, I'll give, what is Bloom's first name? The DA guy in the legislature.
It's not Jack Bloom.
Jack Bloom, yeah. Right? I'm going to give him some credit. Yeah. But I promise you, in the 30 years that I followed politics in this country, and I was a political writer myself, I never knew what opposition people did until you came into the game. Like, we see you. You are there. Is it fun?
Look, I think I was having this conversation with some friends of mine, and I said something along the line of, for the first time in my life, I find all my passions found expression in one job. So when I was in media, communication, journalism, the talkativeness, verbosity, etc., found expression, and I love that part. But
they time you there.
They time you there, but also you can't take sides. You can't express your personal view most of the time.
Yeah.
You can't really be an activist. You can't agitate. Yeah. You can't call for people to do something. So that was always lacking.
Yeah.
Then I went into community development, as you know. And we got to do wonderful work at Bukobam Youth Center with young people. There, the activism, the fire, the passion really found expression. But you can't really do much media and communication there because the work is different.
Yeah.
But for the first time in my life now, I have an opportunity to communicate, an opportunity to agitate, an opportunity to rile up forces for change. And it's all in one.
Influence legislation.
Exactly. Influence legislation, influence policy, regulations.
Yeah.
Get people to account. That's one of my favorites. You know, you have this little card that says you're from the legislature, and you knock on the door and you can do oversight and ask, why is the line this long at Home Affairs that people have to wait from 4 o'clock in the morning? You can go conduct oversight in schools that have had temporary structures for eons and say prefabs are not conducive for learning.
Yeah.
This is disadvantaging the kids. So now you don't just broadcast about it, or you don't just march or do it, or you can actively call for people to account. That for me has been the greatest part of
your work at Bukobako. I mean, I do understand it's community development, right?
It's important,
So I could never link it to political activism. Did you know at some point that this could be the world that you get yourself into?
Look, I didn't know exactly what it would look like, but there was always a restlessness about me, you know, that made me always ask, why must it be like this? you know, why can't it be different?
Yeah.
And who's going to be the one to stand up and say, let's do it differently, you know? So when I did the community development work which I'm still part of, with a group of friends and colleagues, it was always with the intention to solve for.
Yeah.
But the more work we did, the more we realized that the problem wasn't necessarily in what we're seeing. That's just the fruit or the manifestation. The root is unseen. It's in the structure, it's in the systems, it's systematic, it's in the politics of it all. And you need to, at some stage, go upstream to see why the water is polluted downstream.
Yeah.
So, the more I did the community work, the more make the decisions.
Yeah.
Because that's why we're seeing what we're seeing on the ground. And the more I did on the ground, the more I wanted to say, let's go upstream to see what's polluting the water downstream. And I think it was just a natural progression. I could never have planned it out like this. I don't think.
It's been 12 months of a 60-month term.
Yeah.
Are you going to finish the 60 months?
Anything can happen.
Are you loving this?
Anything can happen. If I had my way, yes, yeah. I am thoroughly loving it. People were saying the other day, there was a huge debate about City of Joburg and the mayor, who were saying, no, you know, the heavyweights can't be mayors. They can't be mayors here in Zilla, etc. I made a comment online to say, if you are most qualified, that's exactly where you need to go. Those who are overqualified need to be in local government. And people were asking, so now when I am Ms. Kushiko Gauteng, if they say go and run for mayor, Mfuleni, would you go? I said, I don't see it as a demotion. An opportunity to serve wherever, in whatever capacity, cannot be a demotion. You know, whether you don't get the mayoralship and you just end up as an ordinary member in council, it's still an honor. It's still an honor. So if you ask me, I have no plans. I'm happy where I am. I'm thoroughly enjoying lighting fires there.
Are you being heard?
I'm happy to serve.
Are they hearing you in that legislation in the middle of Johannesburg CBD?
Yeah, no, imeseji yalenda. And I thank God, actually, because sometimes when we're writing whatever member statement or speeches and quoting yeats, as you were saying, you want it to be more than just words.
Yeah.
You want it to prick the conscience of those who are listening. Because I'm of the view that, you know, those who entered into politics may have, more often than not, at some point, wanted to make a difference.
Yeah.
Really, I believe it. So those who are seated there, the corrupt and the honorable, at some point wanted to make a difference. Mm. So I always pray before I deliver any message to say, Lord, can you just prick the hearts and the minds of those who are now hardened criminals disguised as honorable members, prick their conscience so that at some point they can just decide, you know what, I've done enough stealing, let me stop. Or if not, remove them because we're tired, you know. So I
You're
always
divine intervention.
Hope, divine intervention, physical by any means necessary, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, within reason and within the bounds and confines of the law. But I always hope that it's more than just words. But it seems to be working because we are seeing the fruit. There are times when they intervene after we've said or we have done some groundwork, and you'll get a phone call from an MEC or a message from an MEC to say, you know, I'll attend to that matter that you raised. I will go and meet that community, that constituency that you were speaking about. And that for me is humbling because I don't have the power.
We'll go give the burial that you promised to
give. And mind you, at the time of recording at the moment, they have not given the burial as
still.
Yet. Still haven't, yeah. So the Jeje family that approached us is still struggling to get the Department of Arts and Culture in Gauteng to do the right thing as well as nationally. But the good thing is that we got the response.
Yeah.
And we got...
And I got to know because I would not have known. I would not have known about this at all.
Precisely.
So, you know, when this government was formed, this one, this administration, Premier Panyaza Lusufi was then forced to go and get other people to be in the room, but left Bill's One South Africa out of the room. And people... say, that one is bitter because she was left out of this, you know, this opportunity. Now, she's no longer building One South Africa, she's breaking this South Africa. What do you say about that?
Look, conversations were had, and contrary to popular opinion, there were discussions between my leadership and the Gauteng leadership, ANC, to see whether or not we could form part of this government of national unity and provincial unity as it applies to Gauteng. And I know one of the biggest issues that Musi had with the whole arrangement is that it was not clearly set out. What are we solving for? What are we hoping to achieve? What are the thorough terms of reference over and above just the parties?
Yeah.
What is the vision of this GNU? What is the vision of the GPU? And if you don't know where the bus is going, don't get on the bus, because it could take you to Marabastad or it can take you to Timbuktu. You know,
it could also have brought you here with a protector and on the backseat of a car. Well, it could have, you know?
But,
like,
but,
I mean,
but
I mean, I had to go fetch you walking alone in there, like, really.
Because I was new to this mall. But I'm just, I'm saying, without the vision of the province that you want to create and something for all the parties to galvanize around, we're just there because we just want to lie in our tummies. You know, we're just there because it's convenient. And again, I know our leadership definitely called for that. What are we hoping to build? What are we hoping to achieve?
So you wanted something slightly more than Nasi Span.
Yeah, something that you could, you know, you're not giving people jobs for 3 months and then 6 months. Look, it helps them. It gives them food for that limited time. But we've not changed the economy.
Yeah.
We've not changed their economic situation either. And we're definitely not going to be in a better off position at the end of this term than we are at the beginning with those kind of policies. It's just not, it's not going to change the trajectory of the province. And I think that's where we had issues and we decided we're not going to form part of a bus just because it's moving. We don't know where it's going. We don't like where it's going. We will try our best to not be opposition for the sake of opposing, but to be constructive and to try and steer this ship that's already on the move in the right direction. We'll be the traffic officers, you know, we'll be
on
the law
note,
enforcement
then
officials.
Let's talk about three things.
Yes.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's been 12 months. Let's start with the bad. what have you looked at and said, damn it, this thing is not working. These guys are just messing up this thing.
Mfuleni municipality.
Yeah.
Closely followed by the city of
Johannesburg. Remember your conversation with the mayor there was not very pleased with you.
Off. I mean, I've never seen an area where you don't have one good thing to say about it. I mean, we sat there and part of the petitions committee and the chairperson in all her wisdom decided we're going to have one of the committee meetings at Mfuleni.
Mm-hmm.
None of the officials attended. None of them. The date.
Well, if I knew you were coming, I probably would have stayed away.
None of them came. And that was the problem. And I said, you know, to some of the community members who were there and the committee of petitions that was in council there, I said to them, give me one thing where you can say, you know, okay, we've got sewage lining the streets, we've got potholes, we've got no drainage systems, you know, our financial matters are in disarray, all those things. Yes, but there's this that's
just
a big
one thing.
Can you show me one thing? It can be a park or it can be a project where you say, this one, this is our beacon of hope. It didn't exist. Not one. I said, Mswabi saying, give a draw swab. Show me one thing.
It can be.
I'm telling you. And I'm seeing that more and more in the city of Johannesburg, more and more in other central business districts.
Yeah.
You and I are from the West Rand.
Yeah.
Florida, I used to go there as a kid.
It's gone
Roodepoort,
now. It's
I
gone.
Used to go. Yeah, gone.
Yeah.
That is not an issue that's just appeared out of nowhere, you know, from the ether. That's man-made. That's a lack of leadership. That's mismanagement of assets that were entrusted unto us. That our forefathers built, by the way.
Yeah.
Even under apartheid government. It was our brothers and sisters
in
who
fact,
were doing
they the built it and then they were evicted.
Then
right?
they were evicted, precisely. But you see that, and I say Mfuleni, but really it's most, if not all, the municipalities. And that for me has been heartbreaking. Because to try and reverse the damage is really difficult. Because it is so entrenched that it's even in the very atmosphere. People don't care. They litter. They throw things wherever.
Yeah.
They urinate where they want to urinate. They do whatever. Because we have taught them, we as the leaders have taught them, this is how you look after this. It doesn't matter. This infrastructure doesn't matter.
We drink publicly. I mean, I don't get it. People walking the streets drinking, walking past the police station.
Yes. Like, yeah. Leadership taught us it's okay. The rod starts at the head. So if you are not able to say these are the assets that were entrusted unto us, we will maintain them, we will refurbish, we will do all those things. Nina, you need to pick up papers, you need to, why must I? If there's, as we speak, there's a gaping hole in the middle of Joburg CBD that's been now months, if not years, I don't know when that.
More than a year now.
It was more than a year.
Yeah.
And if I see, nobody cares, my government doesn't care, there's no water, there's no this, there's no that. I then learn through enculturation that this is how we behave in South Africa. We can litter, we can jaywalk, we can do this, we can do that, because we've been taught that this is our culture, this is our value. It's wrong.
If that's the bad, I shudder to think about the ugly. I mean,
there's so many
tell
bad.
Me?
I was also going to tell you about economic development
or
the lack thereof.
Yeah.
I think the way in which we are treating entrepreneurs and those in the quote informal sector is abysmal. It's shameful. Where we're not saying give people a hand out, even the hand up that you promised them, you're not delivering. And not only are you not delivering, but you are going out of your way to thwart that even. I mean, we've seen initiatives, Township Economic Development Act, mm-hmm. very good on paper, making sure that you source local, making sure that we stimulate the township economy. On black and white, perfect. You get implementing agents that then chow the money and don't do what they promise to do, leaving your spaza shops vulnerable, leaving your supermarkets naked. I mean, for me, that's also been quite frustrating, because we're supposed to be the economic hub, not only of the country, but
of the continent.
Yeah. You know, and if we can't get it right, and we're being beaten by the likes of Kenya, likes of Rwanda, that actually espouse entrepreneurs, and whoever starts a business there is been treated like royalty, to say you're creating jobs,
yes.
you're about to help us out. How do we make life easier for you?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we've seen initiatives where government and those affiliated to government have gone out of their way to disrupt, not in a good way, to destroy the businesses have been started. So in one of, I'll give you two cases. The first one was the, remember when Pick and Pay mini market stores started mushrooming in the township? The structure of that arrangement was so warped, it left all of the entrepreneurs that had started Pick and Pay mini market stores in complete debt, some of them to the tune of about 5 million. It was anti-competitive. It was not progressive. It went out of its way to enrich Pick and Pay and impoverish those who had partnered with.
Why would the blame lie with my government instead of Pick and Pay?
I love what you're saying. Because that initiative, when it first came about, was in partnership with Economic Development in Gauteng.
Yeah.
And the terms of reference were agreed upon. And there was even an MOU that was signed to say, here's how we're going to empower township dwellers. When we came into the 7th administration this time last year, I got word of what was happening through a DM on social media.
Yeah.
When people said, oh, we hear this Bosa story that you are working with us and you want us to tell you what we want you to represent us on. Lead the charge when it comes to Pick and Pay. They gave me information. We dug deep. We investigated. We saw the MOUs, etc. We asked the government official, when you knew that these people were being thrown under the bus by this corporate giant, what did you do? They said, oh, no, we couldn't do anything about it. We just watched and let it unfold. But we warned Free State Province because they saw us and wanted to benchmark. And we told them, no, do not allow this kind of agreement.
That should be glorious. We have to give you the guinea pigs.
I said, so you then you can warn Free State and say, don't do it. And then you leave other black entrepreneurs to join this bandwagon. You don't even pull them to the side to say, don't go there. Don't go there. I said, why didn't you call a press briefing to say, this is what this corporate giant is doing. We wash our hands. We can't do anything about it. But we thought it's important. Let it be known. Why didn't anybody say anything? Why didn't NEF say anything? They didn't say anything. They watched these entrepreneurs go absolutely bankrupt and said nothing.
Dereliction of duty? Was it stupidity? Was it ignorance?
All of the above, including negligence. All of the above.
I'm hoping, but not corruption. I'm not,
it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
And when we came when this issue came to the fore, we summoned. Okay, summoned is a strong word. Now.
Yeah, I don't think you got the
summon. But I don't have that power.
Parliament and legislature can summon, though.
As a committee.
Yeah.
So we appealed, that's the word, strongly to MEC Maile to intervene. And he was able to. So it was not a matter of being unable to help these entrepreneurs, because they managed to help most of them.
Was it to remove the clause that was not helping, or to stop this program at all?
To assist them in the payment arrangements that they had entered into, unscrupulous payment arrangements, where Pick n Pay acted as pseudo surety for them. And then when ish hit the fan, they definitely pulled out and said, well, sorry, that's on you.
I know of one fellow, but the story was linked to COVID. That, you know, that when COVID happened and he couldn't trade, Pick n Pay still demanded his payments. You know, and his story went big. I can't remember his
name.
Not only that,
I mean, they would make them sell items that they knew were not going to be bought in terms of pool cleaner and cat food. Cat food.
Look,
so things like
it
that.
Depends. I mean, when I'm hungry, I consider it from time to time. But
I mean, things like that. Things like making sure that they can't stock elsewhere. They must only stock at Pick n Pay.
Yeah.
Making sure that there's all sorts of promotional items so that they can't break even and they can't make any money. I mean, it was a lot of things. Making sure that they hire their own auditors, Pick n Pay auditors, and not their own, even though you know somebody else who can give you the service cheaper. So the entire arrangement was warped. But when we then were able to...
But is that not a normal franchising thing?
There's a normal franchising thing. And then there's one that's specifically linked to the Township Economic Development Act, where you're saying you're being intentional now about empowering township men and women to own a share of this retail giant and to be able to work on their own. So there's that difference. When is I end up in Sandton and I just decide, hey, look, I've got extra money. I want to open a franchise. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
But when you're saying we want to intentionally stimulate the township economy in partnership with this retail giant, and we as government are going to facilitate that, and then you watch it fall apart and you sort of whistle and turn around and go the other way. I had a problem with that. And to show that something could have been done about it, when we came into the scene, something was done about it. That was the one thing. Then, I can go on and on about it.
Give me the second one. Then
the second
move to
one
the
very
ugly.
Quickly. Kataras, for example.
Yeah.
The spaza shops and the manufacturers program that was there and the distribution center that was there was all part of a package that was supposed to bring change into that community. Long story short, buddies of the politicians get the contract. Family Tree Holdings get that contract. You're going to be an implementing agent. They get paid $20 million to try and set up the structures and the systems, etc. Telling people we're going to give you stock, we're going to give you training, we're going to give you a small and a capital injection so that you're able to grow, you're able to professionalize, etc. That didn't happen. The manufacturers who were already working and doing all sorts of products lost all their opportunities. Many of them, their factories closed. The spaza shop owners are still waiting today for their stock, and the distribution centers that they say they set up, they didn't set up. So for me, it's small things like that that actually make a big impact, because you might say, ah, it's just 20 million or ah, it's just spaza shop owners. The ripple effect is far and wide.
Yeah. And is there any consequence when you then out these people?
So what we then called for was a forensic investigation into the relationship between Family Tree Holdings and the department.
Yeah.
And the department did everything but. No, we'll look into it. No, we don't want you to look into Rekupa forensic investigation. Then the MEC said, no, we are going to get senior counsel to do an investigation over all of the different contracts and not just this isolated one. I said, well, the sixth administration committee, before I was even there, also found similar, because they had an oversight inspection and found everything that we've said and put it in a report and demanded a forensic investigation. How that was swept under the carpet is beyond me. When we came in the seventh administration and I got a tip off to say, look into this issue, then all of a sudden it came to the fore and they still refuse the forensic investigation. But we're told now that that Family Tree Holdings, that company, is still trading with government under a different name. So let it be known that we know. And we are coming, and there is no rock large enough for you to hide under.
I can't imagine.
That's the bad. Oh my gosh.
I can't imagine there's anything beyond this bad. I mean, is there one thing that you could say is ugly? Like one thing, when you think about it, you get delirious. You could even vomit.
Yeah. I think for me, the ugly is the consequence of all of this corruption, malfeasance, negligence, all of its effects and impact on the ordinary citizen. It's ugly. It's dire. When we went to Emfuleni we saw people who are living in houses where sewage literally bubbles up under the tiles. They have to, you know, as you go into a door, you walk in. Bona, they build up a wall like this so that they play murabaraba whenever they have to go in the house, because the sewage comes up. It comes up and seeps. And no matter how high you build that wall, it somehow continues to rise. Because there's poor drainage system, because there's no maintenance of the infrastructure. It's appalling. They tell you that they've become accustomed to the smell. They get arthritis. They get all sorts of sicknesses, asthma, all sorts of sicknesses because of the conditions under which they're living in this new South Africa. And nobody stands up to take accountability. Nobody apologizes. Nobody says, what can we do to fix it? That for me is soul destroying. You know, when you look at these entrepreneurs who say, I used my pension fund, one of the guys, Kahis, I used my pension fund to start a detergent company because I knew, Guti, the amount of money that I'm getting every month, I think he was getting maybe 5 or 6,000 every month. He's like, no, I can supplement and get a bit more when I start to create my business, etc. He took his Provident Fund, put it into this business, was doing well, was managing to get about an extra 10,000 rand. So let's say maybe 15,000 rand. He said, I'm an old person. I can live on that, get some food for myself. My house is paid up. It's, you know, I'm okay. In comes a Family Tree Holdings. We're going to help you grow this business. We want you to hire people. Let's move your operations away from the township and take it to a place called Coast Base in Midrand.
But why? So,
exactly.
His customer is right next door to him. Why? It doesn't make business sense.
It doesn't make business sense. But also it takes away the whole essence of township business.
Right.
Right? So he moves them with the guise of, we're going to pay 50% of your rent.
Overheads.
Yes. Your costs at Coast Base. And you're going to grow. And we're going to show you that you know you can do all these wonderful things. Long story short, they don't pay the 50%. He ends up in debt. All of his assets are then withheld by this company. He says, well, you've paid half, but where's the other half? He's lost all of his clients in the township now because, you know, nature doesn't allow for a vacuum. People will get the same material elsewhere. He's now in debt, Coast Base. He's now no longer able to make ends meet because he's not getting that 15,000. He had to subdivide his house. And let half of his house, bedroom number one, number two, at least community tenancy so people can pay. Doesn't not have that privacy anymore, the dignity of owning his house. He's heavily in debt. Why did you go and fetch someone who's doing well? He could have done greater, yes, but he was happy with what he was getting. He was employing three people. You come in as government, destroy this person's business, and then you think life must go. So that for me is ugly.
Somebody watching us now. In Keteras, in Emfuleni, these places that you've mentioned, says, well, I'm not sure I feel sorry for these guys because they're the ones who are voting these guys into power election after election after election.
Are they
in
really?
Fact, are I they? Say to you, when we go for local government elections, I want to see whether these guys are going to reward Bosa or they're going to go back to the family tree connections.
You know, politics is such a tricky business, and I'm learning it as I go. Because at one point, you're doing it for the sake of making a difference.
Yeah.
And when we go on the ground and you meet people, you don't ask, who did you vote for?
And you shouldn't.
And you shouldn't. Yeah. And at that point, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you're not going to say, well, stay there in your storage because you can't. You can't. When you are confronted face to face with an old man who's weeping because he can't make ends meet, a grown man who could be your father, it's difficult for you to then say, well, Taf, you brought yourself here. Really, I mean, you'd have to be a narcissist or you'd have to be a psychopath. So you help anyway. But it's also very difficult for me. I've yet to learn the skill of saying, okay, now you see I've helped you. Remember me, ne? I can't.
Yeah.
So, but I also...
You clearly don't qualify for super office.
No, it's tough. No,
you're not made for this.
But I do acknowledge the importance of saying to them, it's just one of me now at the legislature. Imagine if there were 10. Imagine if there were 10. Because you would have someone who's hammering on Emfuleni every day. Lala vuga, live, breathe, eat, Emfuleni. there has to be change. Right now, I have the capacity to focus on it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Then I have to go to Kagiso. Then I have to...
And you have to do a podcast.
Then I have to do a podcast.
Like, really? People are looking for you now. Your phone is off.
You know
off,
what
right?
I mean? So I always tell people that, and this is not to say vote for us because we're going to do it. I say to them, if you are happy with what I've been able to deliver, imagine if there were 10 of us at the legislature. And of all the issues that you've had, I've only dealt with one. Now, you might have an issue of schooling where you're saying my child wasn't accepted at a school that is 5 kilometers away from me. Instead, this online system has taken my child to, Timbuktu.
Yeah. School.
Exactly.
Not just Timbuktu, but who are school.
Then I say to them, well, now we've dealt with your issue of sewerage, or we've dealt with your issue of the business, but the education one I can deal with only at a later stage. I will attend to it, but not now. If there were 10 of us, this issue of yours of education wouldn't have to wait, because there would be more of us at the legislature. And that, I think, is the privilege of the lower you go in the spheres of government. At national, the wheels turn very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's heavily on the legislative side, etc. So for them to be on the ground is very difficult. Yeah. At province, we're a little bit closer to the surface.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to do. But at local government, and I tell them, I said, if you think I'm delivering and working now, imagine if I could sit in council and say, we scrap this 230-cent charge that on prepaid electricity.
Yeah.
No maganjan. There I can comment and agitate and push for it. But in the council where I can vote, there's a huge difference. So I always tell people that if you're happy with the work I'm doing, imagine if there were 10 of us in council or even more. Where if they come and they say they are increasing rates and what we say, not in our name, that for me is the barter, the trade exchange. And it should not be seen as, oh, well, you voted, etc. It should be seen as what you purchase, right? And the value that you receive for whatever it is that you purchase. Your vote is a trade exchange. You're buying something. What is it that you're buying? Mm-hmm. Are you buying services? Are you buying?
I suppose we buy
friend,
a promise, don't we?
I guess you do. But for me, before you get the promise, you must have some sort of SABS stamp of approval. Look a little bit and see whether or not this thing has served you in the past, which is what we're doing now. We're eager to prove that if given the chance to govern anything as Build One South Africa, the difference will be day and night.
So I'm crossing my fingers and like all of them, probably even my toes.
Your toes.
Because I want to know one good that you can tell me about this government of provincial unity, you know, like when the premier is listening, he's watching us.
You know, and people think, oh, you must really hate them. Hate is a strong word. I don't hate.
Yeah.
You know? In fact, Banyasa was at Bukobami to do the ribbon cutting.
Mm.
In the early days, 2015,
yeah,
when we opened the youth center.
Yeah.
Very supportive. Loved education. Loved young people. So for me, it's actually not even about hate. I don't hate any of them. I have strong emotions, but it's not hate. So the good that I'm seeing is not even from the GPU partners. The good I see is in ordinary South Africans. We can talk about the vote, and that's why I said, I mean, are they really still voting them? Because the outcome, the fact that there's a GNU and a GPU means the vote is dwindling,
yeah,
the numbers are dwindling,
yeah,
and they will continue to dwindle. So people are waking up. But I've seen something fascinating, Rams. Fascinating. The power of collective will of a community to stand up and say, not anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's electric. I've seen it in several instances. Mogale City, they are dealing with land invasion, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually different categories. One of the categories is labor tenants who have lived on these plots of farms for centuries. I met a gogo who's 100 years old. She was born and raised in that farm.
Yeah.
Her father was born and raised on that farm. The father's
probably
father.
Probably buried on that farm.
Precisely.
Yeah.
The father's father worked the land. This gogo showed me her dompas that the bus, the farmer, used to sign.
Yeah.
Showed me, this is where we used to sign. It said, I was born. This now farm was put on auction by, I think, a great-grandchild or whatever who now inherited. And basically didn't even give the community the courtesy to say, hey, guys, start looking for alternatives because we are putting this on auction. They find out online. We're dealing with an issue similar to theirs, Utopia informal settlement, where they were also threatened with eviction. Then they said, we heard that you guys are helping Utopia. Please come and help us. We intervene in that situation. Those communities are organized. They had their documents, same as Utopia, documents lined up to prove we have burial sites here. Our ancestors are buried here. I can take you to where my great-grandfather's body was. They said to this young man, your own grandfather, we can show you where he's buried. We held a night vigil for him. This land is ours too. The rightful thing to do is to apportion a piece to us and auction the rest. They were resilient. They were organized. They were defiant, not violent, but determined.
Yeah.
It set my heart on fire. It brought me so much joy. They organized themselves. Bantari Chelet, same thing, Utopian formal settlement. Bagazata, bagazata. There are communities that are so determined to progress. They've literally sidelined government to say, Nina nizosthola phambili. We were going to work. And I've seen it in Dobsonville when there was no electricity for months on
end. Months.
They got up and they said, you will hear us. So that fire inside South Africans is akin to the 76 fire. It's akin to the fire that led the boycotts. It reminded me, although I wasn't there, I was still an infant. I wasn't there cognitively to understand.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, this is what it must have been like. When the anti-apartheid struggle had gained its momentum, where ordinary citizens were participating, I've seen that resurgence in these pockets of communities. I don't have English enough to tell you how happy it makes me. And what we then do with that is we say, choose a leader among you. Let's take them to council. Choose your ward councillor. Whether they subscribe to Bold One South Africa or they don't, we will support you. So, we want you to lead yourselves.
So you have to tell me this. There are 10 members of the executive in the provincial government. Who's a shining star? There has to be somebody who's doing so well. You have not had any time to go to them and say, well, now people are complaining about you. You know, you drag them to a meeting in Katowice.
I'm biased. I'm biased because I happen to like this person also just as an individual, and I consider them one of the incorruptible, even though all of us, I guess, were fallible. But Vuyusa Ramakgopa from RISE is a formidable woman.
Yeah.
She is headstrong. She's resolute in what she wants to do, and I get the sense that she's genuine. An encounter that I had. I'm trying this whole farming thing also.
Yep. Pray for me. You guys are crazy.
Pray for me. I'm trying this whole poultry thing.
I'm a city boy. I'm not going there.
We'll see. So I went to Alzu. They do feed for livestock, etc. And from time to time, they do this wonderful thing where they introduce up-and-coming farmers to whatever new technique or new production or whatever it is that they're doing. So they had something about piggeries, if you want to farm pigs. So I won't. I went there. I'm like, okay, what is this about? And they had a group of farmers. Guys, this is your piggery from start to finish.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you build for them? Da, 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 all those things. Marvelous. Her team was there. They didn't know I'm there because I'm there. I'm just Ayanda there. I'm not an MPL. Sitting in the audience. And I thought, this is nice. Let me see what they're going to do. Hi, we're from the office of the MEC. This is the support that we give to farmers. This is how you can apply. Please take our mobile numbers. Da, 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 da. They didn't know I was there. They didn't know.
Surely
I loved
happy
it.
To hear this.
I took a picture of it. And I said, I'm with your people. You know, we DM'd as well. We're like, I'm with your people. And well done. And I even left without even saying good to, oh, by the way, I'm going to tell your boss that you guys are doing a good thing. I didn't want them to know that there was an MPL in the room because then the treatment might change. But the work that they did was just vital for me. It was so important, and I really appreciated that. And I also appreciate the fact that she is able to give strong and impactful we do member statements because we're members. Because what do they do? MEC statements or whatever.
Executive statement? I don't know. There's a technical term.
I don't know the technical term.
Even as a political writer, I was doing national.
Exactly.
Assembly.
Everybody goes national. Everybody goes national. We'll talk about that. But she's able to then remind us, you know, of the work that she does and implore us to assist where she needs assistance and highlight some important things. So I think for me, I really appreciate her leadership. I'm hoping that it will lead to.
I'm willing to switch off the camera at this point because I want you to tell me about the worst of the 10. So that they don't see this.
I'm trying to make peace with them. You know what I've learned? Yeah. And maybe this also shouldn't be on camera. But, you know, Bati Ama Kundwane.
Yeah.
Rats are able to devour human flesh without the human necessarily feeling it because they have a tactic called uyaluma uvuthele.
Yes.
You bite and then you soothe. Exactly. You soothe that sore spot so that, you know, this person doesn't feel that you're biting. So I'm learning to adopt that strategy because I realize that if I hit too hard too often, I will have no one to help the constituencies for which I'm lobbying. So if I am always on the attack, they are not able to service my community. And in fact, they might decide, okay, when you're not even in an executive, we'll see who'll help your people. So I have to have the ability to be honest and to tell the truth and to attack when attack is needed. But to also then say, okay, now let's talk. How are you helping my people? Mm. Please, can you help them with 1, 2, and 3? So I don't want to say,
okay, you're not going to tell me, let's move on.
Because they're going to say to me, I'm not helping your people anymore. However,
by the way, she told me off air, but yeah, you're not going to deal with this. Yes,
there are some that I wish were better. Yes. There are some.
So I've got two issues before we conclude. One of the things I've noticed about political work, is at least in the last 2 to 3 administrations, is that there's a lot of reading that happens. Right? In the past, we didn't see this because, you know, there was virtually in a one-party state from 1994. And, you know, the ruling party did what it did and we took it. Now you guys walk in there and you have read this and you challenge them because, you know, you remember this was signed in 1994, in 2003, blah, 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 blah. Are we starting to realize that that space is not for Standard 5?
Yeah. Look. And I want to give credit to the economic freedom fighters because I think when they entered parliament, that's when we started to see business unusual and that you can no longer go there and sleep. You sleep at your own risk.
Yeah.
You sleep at your own risk. So we appreciate the amount of thought and preparation that goes into committees, that goes into sittings, that goes into the questions that are being asked, because that is what it was supposed to be like to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to challenge each other so that no party is relaxing. We're always thinking, how am I going to serve the community better? Which bill am I going to introduce into the legislature or into parliament? How am I going to hold this particular individual to account? How am I going to work together with other members, for example, to achieve the results, which is something that I'm having to learn more of. There's one Build One South Africa seat at the legislature. You have to work with people.
Yeah.
How do you lobby people from different parties to see things your way, to say, can we help this community? How do I work with people who perhaps we don't always see face to face, but on this issue we do? And how do we become collegial, if not friendly, towards the common objective of helping the citizenry? And so all of that comes with the preparation. What's this party's view on this issue that I'm trying to drive? And can I find an ally in what we're doing? What was said about this before I even came here? Tracing the issue, for example, of Kataras back to the 6th administration and going into the
archives.
That
has to be hard as a one-man party.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of support do you have then to get you that research to go and speak to people before you go and engage them? You're not an MEC. You don't have an office, you know, with people behind you.
So
in fact, do you sleep?
What? I try to. Yeah. I have to, because I realize that when I don't sleep, even cognitively, I just am I'm slower, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then the emotions will take a toll, and you'll see a child who doesn't have food and you'll fall apart also. Yeah. Because now you're also not okay. So I do try and sleep. I have a great support team in Gauteng, a staff of four at the legislature, and we double up and do everything. Ahona, it's not my job.
Yeah.
No, Ahona, it's not my job. So even myself, I'll sit at night editing videos, shooting this, shooting that, because I can't say, no, it's not my job. Yeah. Me, I'm just must give speeches. We're all involved. But more than anything, yes, we have to do the research. Book smart is important. I'm actually studying into what I'm doing now, because I'm forever learning.
Yeah.
It's a weakness and a strength. We rely heavily on our team in Parliament to say, how do you support us from a national perspective? The ground forces, our BOSA champs are amazing. But more than anything, the intel that is undeniable and indisputable is from ordinary people. When we came onto the scene as Bold One South Africa, while we were busy waiting for Banyaza to form an executive there, and we were all sitting twiddling our thumbs because we couldn't meet for committees because there was no committee work to do, we set out a video that said, let's govern together. You and I, you tell me what's up on the ground. I will tell you what is going on at the legislature. People were able to say, Ayanda, there's an issue, nothing has been done here. When you go into the records at the legislature, you ask your committee support staff, which are also phenomenal, by the way, and you say to them, this person is complaining about Ward 11, gay. Please can you assist? Then they give you all that reference. And then what you find at the legislature proves what this ordinary citizen has been saying, but they just didn't have the proof. They didn't have the English for it.
Yeah.
They didn't have
the maybe even access to the documents that you have access to.
They don't have access to the document. But they know. But you can't go and say, you must prove it. Then in some instances, we found, and I can prove it. This document says that you guys have built RTP houses here. But this individual says, then we go to the ground and we see, there's no RTP house. Then this letter that is now in the records of the legislature that says you guys have built here, who's fooling who? So it's important to read, very important. But I also want to say, in terms of standard five, I don't want us to be classist or elitist to the point where we're saying, if you don't have a master's, a PhD, et cetera, you don't qualify to make these rules. Because we all bring our lived reality and lived experience that qualifies us in certain aspects. But where I would put a condition is when you then enter the legislature, it is then your responsibility to start getting book smart and to start studying. Yeah. Because we can't say, no, you need a PhD to get here. But if after 5 years, I'll now go certificate to show me fundamentals of business 101, I'll now community development attendance certificate again.
I bet.
No, that's on you.
Yes.
That's on you. And because I feel wherever we are in that position, our job is to always become better at that. And we are given bursaries to improve yourself. So I'm now studying into public participation and how we can use social media for public participation that the Constitution says must be reasonable. There have been 3 Concord judgments that found against legislative bodies for failing to do public participation. I think Matadiela was one of them.
Yeah.
And so I'm now saying, is there a way that we can use social media to bridge the gap and enhance that? Now, there, you can just sit and just say, I'm at the legislature, I'm eating, I must just chill, etc. Or you can say, I must improve so I can better serve. So you can have a standard five, but don't stay with your standard
five. That's a very nice entrance to my last question and the conclusion of this conversation, right? So you've been accused of all things, right? She's just a social media
butterfly
she's a yellow bone, she's got pretty privilege, she's smarting because she was excluded from this, maybe even excluded from the 700 million rand dialogue.
Yeah, that's why she's fighting the dialogue,
all sort of things. I'm sure you've even been accused of wanting somebody who doesn't want you, blah blah blah. What has been the worst that you've been accused of because you're doing your job?
And this is something that I think has followed me my entire career. not only in broadcasting, not only at the Department of Transport as a spokesperson, but also here at the legislature. Your gender, your femininity will always be used against you when they cannot find fault. So people will say, I'm sure Uchola knows Banban. I'm sure she wants so-and-so. I actually almost took out a lawsuit against someone who on social media said, no, this one, I'm sure, and I chose peace and not violence. But it was heartbreaking because wherever I go and whatever I do, I always, without fail, back it up with some sort of academic qualification.
Yeah.
Because I don't only want to know how to do something, I also want to be qualified to teach others to do that same thing. And I want to sit in a chair wherever I'm sitting, knowing that there's no one who's going to call tomorrow and say, oh, she's got a fake certificate of what, or, yo, the boyfriend that brought her here now left this job, now she must go. I never want to sit half-heartedly in any chair that I occupy. So for me, and a lot of women will get this, they only got there because they slept their way to the top. They only qualified this because they are yellow, they are what. They only qualified for this because they are pretty, etc. So for me, the fact that what I love most about myself, which is that I'm a woman, I love that I'm a woman. I love all that it stands for, all that it represents.
Let's go.
I'm not type there, firstly. Even if I wasn't married. This is ugly. I see brothers when I'm there. It's not even friend zoned. Because friends can move out of the friend zone. I'm so sorry for them. But family cannot move out of any zone. They are brother zoned, all of them.
I under Ali, my guys. From the Build One South Africa. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, Skim.
I've been waiting for this moment. So I was going to give you this book, but, you know, you guys have to declare things, you know, and I'm not sure about declaration, so I'm going to have to sell it to you. But as usual, you need to buy my book, right? It's The Sweetest Taboo. It's making waves everywhere, guys. And also comment on this content, ask questions, you know, press that little button called subscribe, because it's very important for content like this that you subscribe. So, from me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.